Is it still shopping tomorrow?
I thought I'd be... I'd be very remiss if Parshas Vayeshev, Erev Parshas Vayeshev, or it's actually the week, we get together and we don't discuss the very basic and significant discussion that goes on around the end of the Parsha that deals with Yosef HaTzadik's level of bitochen, because he was found himself in prison, and he obviously wanted to get out, and he asks the Saramashkim, as the Saramashkim is leaving, is being freed from prison, he asks the Saramashkim to remember him to Paroi, and his Kartaniel Paroi, it's Isani, take me out of this, out of this terrible place. And everybody discusses the issue of Bitochon and Hishtadlus in reference to this particular situation. Why? And it's all based on a posuk that says as follows: Ashrei hagever asher som Hashem miftachoi v'loi pona el rehovim. Happy is the person who puts his trust in Hashem and he doesn't turn to other things, to idols and to other things, to wasted things where he would where he'd place his trust. Person who puts his trust in Hashem is doing the right thing, is in the right direction, in the right company. So Chazal say, the Medrash says, Ashrei hagever asher som Hashem miftacho, su Yosef. Who was the consummate Baal Bitochon? The example, when we say a person, the one who puts his trust in Hashem, that was Yosef. Yosef was, with his experiences, with his life experiences, what he'd been through till he got to become the Shady Lamelech in Mitzrayim, which is after this particular point even, but he's the ultimate Baal Bitochon. And then, Lepona El Rehovim, and he didn't turn to other means other than Hashem, and Chazal say, because he asked the Sarah Mashkim to take him out, to help him out, he had to stay another 2 years in prison.
So that's
during
his
Ishtadlus,
isn't it?
Oh, very good. So he asked the Sarah Mashkim to take him out, so we say, this great Baal Bitochen is Yosef, but because he asked the Sarah Mashkim, he was punished, that he has to do another, has to stay another 2 years in prison. So everybody is concerned with this issue. Why are you praising him as the great Baal Bitochen, and then faulting him for doing Ishtadlus? What's wrong? He asked the Saramashkim, Saramashkim, please, you're going back to Paro, you're in a good position with him, he's taking you out. be so kind as to remind the Saramashkim that I'm here and I would like him to take me out as well. Fine. So everybody discusses this issue. And basically, Yochum, it's your question. What's wrong with Ishtadlus? Person does Ishtadlus. He's sitting in the prison. He's been there for quite a while. He wants to get out. And he needs this opportunity to get out. And he has an opportunity to get out. And like, what do you want from him? So every different Mefarshim weigh in with different answers. The Chazon Ish says that it was an improper Hishtadlus. He calls it the Hishtadlus of a Meyuish, of a person who gave up hope. And in a sense, it contradicts his trust in Hashem. Who are you asking to take you, to help you, to remember you, to power, to get you out of the prison? The Saramashkim? He couldn't care less. He wouldn't do a thing for you. He won't lift a finger for you. He's got out of here. It's as if he never knew you. That's actually what happened. He forgot about him until it was a miser with the dream that he finally remembered. There's this guy who knows how to interpret dreams.
Who else was there to ask?
What?
Who else was there?
There was
to
nothing
ask?
Else, you're right. But even, it seems, according to what the Chazon Ish says, even though there was no one else to ask, you don't do this. It's like I'm in the prison, you know, and I see this big cockroach, and I say, hey, let me ride on your back and get me out of the prison. Come on, who are you fooling? It's ridiculous. Saramashkim is worthless. He's not going to do anything. That's what the Chazon Ish says. Rabbi Saul Salanta has a different understanding.
It's worth a shot, though.
Yeah, what's that?
It's definitely worth a shot.
He has no power anyways.
Okay, what?
But he has no power anyways.
Okay. So power okay. Very good. This group always gets to the bottom of things. Very good. So I'll tell you why it's not worth a shot. You know why it's not worth a shot? Because if you act like one who gave up hope, you're undermining your bitochen. See, if it wouldn't have a negative effect on the bitochen, okay, I'm doing ishtadlus, I have bitochen, and that's fine. But no, if it's a ishtadlus of one who gives up hope of a meyuish, then basically I'm saying I have bitochen, and I'm acting like I don't. Actions speak louder than words. Actions have a negative impact on us. And therefore, by acting as you don't have bitochen, because I'm acting in desperation, a desperate man is sending a message to himself that he doesn't have bitochen. Forgive me, I have my throat. Anyway, so that's what the Chazon Ish said. Therefore, it was inappropriate for him, this great Baal bitochen that he was, to do a hishtadlus, which is inappropriate, which is contradictory to his midas habitochen. That's the Chazon Ish. Rabbi Saul Salanta comes along and says like this. He says, no. He says, there's two types of bitochen, and they really depend on the level of the person involved. He says, in the Gemara, we find Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai did not work. He sat in the cave and he learned, and he said, his parnosa will come in Hashemayim, and it did. Rabbi Shmuel said, you have to plow the field, you have to do the work, you have to, you know, those days it was a farming society, you got to go out and do the work, and then you learn and you do your other things, and Hashem will help. One held no hishtadlus, Rabbi Shmuel Yechoy, and the other one held bitochen with hishtadlus. The Gemara even says, harbe osu ka Rabbi Shmuel Yechoy, but also miyodam. Many people tried to do it Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's way without doing anything. They didn't succeed. Because for most of us, that's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was the top of the top. For most of us, we're not on that level, not of piety and not of bitochen, that we can afford not to do anything. So we have to be mishkalim. Rabbi Saul Salanta says that there's actually a machlekes Ramban in the Chovos HaLevavos, which is also not a machlekes, he says. Ramban says, have bitochen without ishtadlus. Rabbi Saul Salanta says that's talking for the super tzaddik, the super Baal Bitochen, the one who can be 100% confident that Hashem's going to help him and he's not worried about it. Maybe he's not such a righteous person. He's righteous and he's a Baal Bitochen. He got it all going for him. He's excused from his ishtadlus. Everybody else, the Chovos HaLevavos says, everybody has to do ishtadlus. Truth is, we even find that they always did ishtadlus. So, that's a question exactly. Why weren't they on the highest level? Sometimes people felt that they were, sometimes they weren't, sometimes they had enough bitochen, many different reasons. Some people say the others didn't want to do without hishtadlus, because they didn't want to rely on nisim, even though they could have. They would have been allowed to. They could have done what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai did, but they didn't want to because they wanted everything to be earned. They want everything to be mishpat, everything to be that it's din, the way it should be, rather than to rely on those things. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai held his way, whatever, that's the whole discussion. So Rabbi Saul Salanta says, what are we supposed to do? Rabbi Saul Salanta says that what's the reason that we have to do ishtadlus? The reason that Rabbi Saul Salanta gives is because Ein Soimchen Al Hanes. Hashem doesn't want us to rely on miracles. He wants us to live a normal life, to live in the teva of the world. Don't rely on miracles, act. You know, we live in a world of natural cause and effect. Act accordingly. Your heart and your mind should be trusting Hashem. He's taking care of everything. But my actions should be in sync with the world in which we live, and that's why we have to put in our ishtadlus. And therefore, Rabbi Saul Salanta says, how much ishtadlus should you do? He says, enough to make it that it's not a miracle. In other words, if the goal, let's say, that you have is to make X amount of dollars, then you have to figure out how many hours a day of work does it take al piderech hateva to be able to earn that amount of money. And that's all I have to work. Enough, he says, that's his language, it should be efshir al piderech hateva, enough that according to teva, you should be able to do it. And after that, you have bitochon, you don't have to do any more ishtadlus, you fulfilled your responsibility for ishtadlus.
According to Teva, the more you work, the more you make.
What?
According to Teva, the more you work, the more you make.
Well, maybe
clock
a person...
at 10 o'clock and leave at 4 o'clock.
You know, first of all, maybe a person has to decide, not the more he works, the more he makes. You have to decide, how much do I need for my needs? How much do I need for my basics, even for my luxury? But there's a, you know, there are limits. And that amount that I come up with, which is the appropriate amount for me, how much effort do I have to put in? Okay, the guy wants more and more and more. I guess that's what he has to do. I'll be there. Chateva. Okay, I don't know. But that's the gether.
So then the more you work, according to that, the more you work, the more you make? I mean, I'm not...
I would...
Because if you're established, you could say from 10 to 4, I want to make $100,000 a year. Let's just say that number. If I work till 6, I'll make $1 million a year. So if you want to make $2 million a year, you should work till 7, 8.
I don't know. That's a difficult question. The Mishnah in Kiddushin says that it isn't the work that makes the person rich. That's from Hashem. So I would say...
So then you make 10 cold calls a day?
I would say...
Three emails and you're good.
I would say that by putting in so much effort, by showing that a person is overly doing it, in a sense, what he's really saying is, I don't have the bitochen. I need this. You know, you gotta be careful. It's a balance. We don't want the hishtadlus to undermine the bitochen. That's what the Chazanish said. If I do a hishtadlus that's desperate, then I'm undermining the bitochen. If I work 24/7, that's also a form of undermining bitochen, because you did, you worked, you put in a full day's work, you did a good job, you could make money that way. So you say you can make only $1 million, you want to make 2, you can make 2 that way too. If you put in enough work to make 1, you can make 2. Hashem
so
could get.
You don't need to work past 5. What?
That's what I would say. No, I'm saying, the theoretically you would be right, except for one thing.
More than that.
If you put in more than the normal amount, what you're really saying is, I have to help Hashem. He can't do it. He needs my help. You know, the Chofetz Chaim, I think, has a beautiful mashal. He said this guy was on a train. He was late. I wanted to get to a very important appointment, and it was late. And it looked like he wasn't going to make it. He goes up to the front of the car and he starts pushing. Come on, who are you fooling? You know, there's a God in the world. There's a conductor over there. There's a conductor up here, and you can't make more happen because you push on the train. You know, or like the guy. There's another marshal somebody else gave. That this guy comes onto the wagon with the horses, you know, with a big package, and he holds it on his lap. And why are you holding it on your lap? Well, I don't want to put it down. It'll be too much for the horses to pull. Mm-hmm. You know, he's holding it on his lap. He thinks he's making a difference. That's it. No. So you do the amount, a normal amount. You have to be very careful. The hishtadlus, if I overdo the hishtadlus, either in desperation or in intensity, I may be very well sending a message to myself and convincing myself that, or and inducing a diminishing of my bitochen, which is dangerous because everything really depends on the bitochen. The hishtadlus is just a mitzvah to do, but the bitochen is really what's going to accomplish it. So memela, I have to balance that it shouldn't be in a way that, okay, but wait. If you're worried about working too little, I have another opinion for you. And by the way, I'm just putting the opinions out. I have no way of suggesting, you know, what's halacha lemaisa. It's a very complicated thing, and I don't know if there's not a clarity in Shulchan Aruch as to another opinion. The Ralbag says that a person should be mishtadel to do everything possible to get himself out of a difficult situation. Now, that may be not just to make money, but to get out of a problem. So he clearly says that's what Yosef did when he asked the Sarah Mashkim, and it's a cold question how he proved it, but he says, you see from there that you have to do everything possible. And it seems even the things that don't seem so rational, everything possible in order to get out of a tzora. So there I assume that when I'm doing everything possible to get out of a tzora, that I'm not really saying I'm not relying on Hashem, but there's a chiyuv to get yourself out of the tzora. You see, a chiyuv to make $2 million, I don't know if there is. I don't think so. I haven't found it yet. If there was, I'd be in bad shape, you know. So I don't think there's such a chiyuv, but there is a chiyuv to get yourself out of a tzara. A person's not supposed to be sick. A person's not supposed to be in danger. A person's not supposed to be, you know, overwhelmed and falling apart, having a mental breakdown. So in such situations, it seems the chiyuv ishtadlus is maximal. There's another opinion, and that opinion is the Beis HaLevi, the Rabbi Yashaber, the father of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He says that there's a balance, and this opinion seems to be fairly popular in the world too. And that is, there's a balance between Hishtadlus and Bitochen. He says like this: you should do enough Hishtadlus that you should be able to have the Bitochen that you'll accomplish your goal. In other words, I have a $3 million budget. Okay, I think it went up since then, but let's just, I don't want to think about it anymore. Okay, I have a $3 million budget. Now, I can be confident that if I'll put in a couple hours a day, which I don't, and I'll, you know, I'll do what I have to do, I could, Bez Hashem, I'd be able to raise that budget. I don't have the confidence that if I'm going to sit around all day long and do absolutely nothing, never make a phone call, never take a phone call, never make an ounce, never lift a finger to raise that money, I don't have the confidence that I could raise that money. I have the confidence I can, maybe $1 million like that. You know, maybe $1 million comes in.
Hey, that's not too shabby.
What?
That's not too shabby.
Hey, for me, man. You know what I mean? Anyway, so that okay, the million we have from the donors and people that send in and all you know, the regulars and that, but the three, never. I couldn't have such confidence. So therefore, according to the Beis HaLevi, I have to put in enough hishtadlus that will elevate my confidence level to be sure that I'll be able to get the amount that I need. Agav, I just want to mention, I heard from my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, Rabbi Enoch Leibowitz. He used to say like this, he used to say, today, we're not on such high levels of bitochen. We shouldn't fool ourselves, you know. Hopefully we strive and we, you know, we sit in sessions like this and try to improve it, but we're not really on top yet. So he used to say, the hishtadlus should be whatever we could do as long as it's within the confines of legality. As long as it's kosher, v'yosher, al pidin, and according to the law, and that's the gather. Because more than that is already contradicting your bitochen. Why are you going against the law? Why are you taking chances? What are you doing? Oh, you're desperate? That means you don't have bitochen. If you have bitochen, you say that, I know I could do my thing, I'll do what I have, I'll do as much as I can, but only within the limits of legality, and then I can trust Hashem that He will help me. So these are some of the opinions in dealing with this issue. But I think the upshot of it all is that we do have to realize that there is a mitzvah of ishtadlus. The Ralbag actually says, the Posuk says, b'chol asher ta'aseh, there's a mitzvah to do. The Chovetz Halevava says, the reason Hashem wants ishtadlus is because imagine if we didn't have to work. Oh, would we be sinners? You know, we sit around all day long doing nothing. Oh, what, my yaseh haben v'lo yechto, right? What would happen? Well, so this way you have responsibilities. I can't sin all day long. I got, I got responsibility. I have to go to work. You know, so it's important just for the lifestyle to have a certain amount of ishtadlus. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says that the reason is because of ein simcha al hanes. You know, because you don't rely on miracles. Agav, I think I once mentioned it here, and this is just my own interpretation of it, so I can't swear for it, that I believe the reason of ein simcha al hanes is as follows. Chazal say, if a person has a nes, then it detracts from his bank account. I don't mean his money in the bank, but his divine, his heavenly credits. And Hashem doesn't want him to take away from those credits. Because if he takes away from those credits, he won't be able to pay him for those credits in the eternal world. So he says, don't rely on miracles. So miracles don't have to happen. Make it possible, al piderech hateva, so I won't have to borrow or withdraw from your mitzvah account to pay you in this world, and you'll be able to have reserves for, sometimes the reserves can be used later in this world in a more serious situation, sometimes in the next world. But that's why I think we don't want to rely on miracles, because miracles borrow or detract or deduct from some cheshvan that we have. The Meiri, very interestingly, says that the inyan of Hishtadlus is because Atzlus is a midah maguna. Simply put, doesn't want us to be lazy. Push it laziness. No Hishtadlus for Parnosa. No Hishtadlus for anything. We're going to create a lazy tribe over here because we don't have to do anything, you know. I guess on the highest level, when we're such Bali Bitochan and such Tzadikim, so such people, they'll spend all the time in Avedas Hashem. Most of us in the later generations are not that. Well, we could learn for a number of hours a day. We could daven for a number of hours a day. We could do mitzvahs for a number of hours. But eventually, we'll, you know, have time on our hands. And that's a terrible thing. Time wasted is a crime. And therefore, because Atzlus is a Mida Maguna, the Meiri says that we should not, we have to do Ishtadlus just to avoid this Mida of laziness. Be that as it may, I think there's just one underlying point which has to be made. And that is, that point is as follows. We have to keep in mind that what brings the results is the bitochen. What brings the results is the focus on where it comes from. And that's where it comes from. The Hishtadlus is, for the various reasons that we mentioned, a mitzvah. The Torah wants us to do it. Hashem wants us to do Hishtadlus. But let's not think for a moment that it's the Hishtadlus that brings it to us, but rather it's the bitochen. And the Hishtadlus is just something that we do because of these various reasons that we're obligated. It's like a mitzvah. It's just like you, excuse me, just like you put on tefillin in the morning. Just like you put on tzitzis and a talis, and just like you put on a mezuzah, just like eat matzah, and so forth and so on. There's a mitzvah of Hishtadlus. You want something, whether it's in health, whether it's in parnosa, whether it's in shiduchim, whether it's in family, whether it's in whatever it may be. You have to do Hishtadlus. But don't be fooled. Don't do the Hishtadlus of a meyuish. Don't do too much Hishtadlus, which sends the wrong message. Be careful. Don't do Hishtadlus against the halacha, because that also sends the wrong message. If I have to go against the halacha, that means I'm so desperate I can't rely on Hashem. And you should also know, when you go against the halacha, you have less basis to rely on Hashem, because, you know, he's not going with you against the halacha. He don't like that. You know, he wants to keep us on the straight and narrow. So when we keep all these things in mind, and we realize that it's all about the trust in Hashem, it's all from Hashem, and everything else is just a token effort. Is, I call it sometimes going through the motions. I'm going through the motions because I have to do it. I do what I have to do. I'm a religious Jew. I want to do what I have to do. But don't get fooled to think that that's what does it. And I would like to just conclude with something that one of my children said on this parsha. One of my daughters, many years ago, she was a little kid. And it happened to be my father-in-law was there, and he was like, you know, uplifted. He said, if the Alter from Slabotka, who was the one that really approached this whole concept that she was going to say in a moment, would have heard it, he would have kissed her. Like it was mamish, like she said like this. Maybe the Taina on Yosef was as follows. He said, Kim his kartani el paroi, please remember me to paroi. But then he said something else. A devastating word. And he will take me out of this house. Yosef said, now this is on his high, lofty level. This is not something we should worry about. But on his level, he said, Paro will take me out. Azoigor! Paro is going to take you out. Paro can't take you out. He couldn't put you in, and he can't take you out. And little Paro can't do nothing. No, that was the tain on him. That's what Chazal say.
Must have got a reason for it.
What? Okay.
That's why I got 2 years extra, because of that.
That's, no, he was punished for that. But the reason was, I guess, because he didn't mean it. He didn't really mean it in a negative way. He didn't say, Paro is going to take me out. I don't believe in God. That's not what he meant. But it came out. The word that he chose was an inappropriate word for a great person. For a tzaddik like that, he has to be so careful, because it could be misconstrued, or it sounded as if he's saying Paroi has a koyach, and Paroi has no koyach. No one has any koyach. It's only ach verak the Rabbeinu Shalalem. There is nothing else. Ein oid milvadoi. There's no koyach in the world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything depends on him. And everything that we do, and every form of ishtadlus, we have to be very careful as we go through the inyan of ishtadlus, to be careful not to make the mistake to think that this is where it's coming from. This is my tefillin, this is my mezuzah, this is my matzah, this is my sukkah, this is my mitzvah. But everything comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom.